In the meantime, very pleased to be joined by ESPN Sports Business reporter Darren Rovell. Darren, I appreciate you joining us for a few minutes here tonight. And you collaborated a bit with my co-host tonight, Clarence E. Hill Jr., covering the launch of the Cowboys Fit Club in Frisco, Texas. And I've kind of got a scoop for you on this Jerry Jones guy. He's pretty good at turning that Cowboys brand into a lot of money, it seems.
Yeah, if it weren't for Clarence, I wouldn't know that it was opening today. So that was pretty good. So I had to give that good old hat tip to him. That's easy money. That's the club is easy money. You will see about the hotel. What's interesting is in the last 5 years, teams have really done a lot to revitalize or take an area that has nothing and just build it up from scratch. And I feel like the Patriots were lucky in that the fact that they won so much kind of saved the area around, their stadium. I'm not sure it was the greatest development, but now you see, the Packers doing this, the Cowboys doing this, and, the Cowboys are the original team as a company. And now all these teams are companies and thinking of themselves as something greater than the actual team itself. And so this is now kind of the new model of buying up land around the stadium, or in this case, around the training facility, and kind of owning a bit of everything.
I appreciate you coming on this, Clarence, man. And just think of, what the Cowboys are valued, and certainly they're the most valuable sports franchise. How much would they be valued, and how much could they do if they would have won anything in the last 20 years? They're doing this with a bad football team. I mean, that's how great the salesman Jerry Jones is.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And you would think that if they didn't win anything, that some of his bets would turn sour, right? I mean, right. He's the only guy who decided to, hey, we're going to take our own risk and we're going to distribute our own stuff, and we don't want stuff in gas stations, so we're going to do our own private deals with JCPenney, and we're going to do our own distribution. We're going to do all these things on our own. You would think that because they didn't win, that over 20 years, those things would have gone south, or they wouldn't have been able to build what became AT&T Stadium. And amazingly, he's a relationship guy, and what he has, the Yankees, yeah, they're the Yankees, and they've had, the couple titles, yeah, if you look at it in the last 15 years, they've survived a little bit, but the fact that the Cowboys haven't won, Clarence, that's what makes what Jerry has done so amazing, because you always think that the brand is tied to ultimately getting that championship ring or hoisting a Super Bowl trophy. And he's been able to build it despite that.
And you brought up the Yankees, and certainly they have legends, the marketing, the group with legends, and what he's able to do with that. I don't even know what the Yankees part of it is. I don't know what the Steinbrenners do with
that. So basically they started a hospitality company together,
right,
where the Cowboys and the Yankees put in some money. And honestly, at the time, I thought, how are they going to really, are they really going to be able to get into this market of selling tickets, being a hospitality company? And what do you know? They get enough deals, enough stadiums open, they get enough deals that, they just took money off the table because someone got in and this thing's valued at billions of dollars. It's amazing. Because that's even something that I doubted. I said, why do you need to be the sixth hospitality company? It doesn't make sense.
Right. And really, it was almost like it was more food and beverage. It was more about competing with Aramark. And then they've turned
it started as food and beverage.
Right.
And then they moved over. They moved over to merchandise, and then they moved over to kind of like full service, including ticketing.
Right.
And so it evolved.
Right. And again, it's 50-50, but Jerry's the one who's making it work. He's the one who's had influence with San Francisco, and he's the one who has influence in Los Angeles, and now Oakland, and now Atlanta, and that's just making the whole pot.
All the deals are football. All their business, all the deals are football deals. Yep. Yep.
I mean, I don't know if he can be more powerful. And, you know, people call him the de facto commissioner. But he has influence not just with the Cowboys, with all those franchises, because it's up to him to sell their tickets and make money for them.
Yeah, I think the owners know that they probably owe more to Jerry than anyone else. And it's why, you know, I mean, I feel like if Roger Goodell would ever lose Jerry, that would be it.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's partly lost Kraft, but if he were to ever lose Jerry, you know, it's not all you out there who negatively think of Roger Goodell and boo him. And by the way, the heel thing is starting with Goodell doing a little acknowledgement of his hate at the draft. I think he's starting to embrace the heel. That's you know, he might be getting some lessons from Vince McMahon all of a sudden, which is not too stupid, by the way.
No doubt.
But yeah, I mean, without Jerry's support, you know, he's the one guy who could say, Roger, you're a goner, because he has so much power.
Talking to ESPN Sports Business reporter Darren Revelle here on Game Night. How surprised were you whenever you saw Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott both at the very top of the NFL sales, all of the numbers, all the merchandising and everything? How surprising was that after 1 year?
Yeah, I mean, not surprising when you see where Romo and Witten always are when the team hasn't won more than 10 games. So, you know, they're always hovering around the top 12, you know, and Dez. And, you know, so the fact that they actually win, I think that's a game changer. Plus their rookies. It's amazing. I mean, Zeke got a good signing bonus because he was up top, but like, and, yeah, I know relative to what people, but you know, when the opener's against the Giants and Eli's made what Dak makes in a season in 23 game minutes. It's kind of a little rough.
You know, and it's great for Dak. And can you talk about Zeke and the off-the-field stuff? You think that he could even make more if he didn't have this stuff hanging over his head? I mean,
I think there's been some hesitancy, for sure. I mean, you know, where is this closure that we need to have? If I'm a decision maker in corporate America and I think, you know, like, I just don't know. And I think that over the past 10 years, there's been a lot of like, you know, it used to be, hey, you meet the guy, you talk to a couple of people who he's been around and it's okay. And we'll get the sign off and we'll align our brand with that athlete and that's okay. But I still think Tiger changed a lot. I think it changed the mentality of like Tiger and even going back Kobe, even though, you know, that civil case was resolved and the criminal case was dropped. Still, I think it just makes people say, what do we know? What don't we know about athletes? And I think that sometimes it used to be, hey, the CEO says, I want to do this deal. And I think now the marketing guy might hold that up. So I think the fact that there's not a resolution, I think that's definitely hurt Zeke, but he's been able to make that up in other things. Obviously, I think that it's in his best interest and the Cowboys' best interest to wrap this up, however it is wrapped up. I mean, just to figure out what's happened here and what the next steps are.
Yeah, that's certainly on the NFL, and you don't see Deke with the national advertisements, but Dak is getting it. You know, he just signed with Pepsi and Tostitos and some other things are going. I mean, just talk about him and, you know, the type of marketer he can be, you know, coming a fourth round pick and being this guy that's overcome everything and with his mom and everything. He seems like he can do no wrong. He is the perfect guy as the Cowboys quarterback to be a perfect pitch man.
Yeah, and I think what's happened with Dak is, so he's had a couple issues, as you know, in his past. I think people meet with him and they see how he has conducted himself. And that's been a little bit different. I think that, you know, once something happens in your past, it doesn't mean that you're not going to get deals. I think then it's how do you act? And I think there he's had the closure from his past. He's had the challenges. He's emerged. And he's very level-headed, amazingly level-headed for what he's gone through. For his rookie year and the fact that, you know, you're leading this Cowboys team and doing what what he does. So there's great value added from Dak, and you know, the Pepsi deal obviously manifests itself because of the close relationship that Pepsi has with the Cowboys. And they, I mean, the Cowboys have the closest relationships with their sponsors because, you know, they've been doing deals for a long time. And I think they do have a close relationship. You could even see in the Salvation Army thing with Zeke and how the relationship and how that worked out. So the fact that they're that close to their sponsors over the years and have fostered good relationships gives players like Dak, like maybe eventually Zeke, the ability to do deals better than if they were on another team.
Last question here, Darren. Cleveland saying on this whole branding idea, Cleveland becomes the sixth NBA team to sign an agreement with a sponsor to put that 2.5-inch brand patch on the front of their jersey starting next season. Is this opening the floodgates here across the four major U.S. sports for branding on the jerseys? And are we going to reach a point to where jerseys are going to start looking a little bit more like NASCAR jumpsuits?
Maybe not like that, but I do have to give credit, with the exception of the Brooklyn one, which is awful. I think Adam Silver quietly behind closed doors said, we don't want to mess this up. We understand that there's some sensitivity here. Let's do a good job of seamlessly integrating the logo that is ultimately going onto the jersey, not making it look crazy or outlandish. And they've really done a good job. The Goodyear looks good with the Cavs. I think 5 of 6 look pretty good. It's when it's awful that it looks tasteless. And so I think they're okay so far. I think they're going to generate, you know, an average of 6 or 7 million a team. This is a $10 million deal. I think the Warriors are going to get north of $15 million when they do their deal. So it's a $100 million a year thing. Of course, they got to split with the players. But, yes, I think the NFL's test on the practice jerseys hasn't been anything substantive. There's no real value other than local TV that can't use Cowboys video. I don't think that was a real test when they started that years ago. But I do expect the NFL to do it. I do expect hockey to do it. It's going to be a little bit harder with baseball, but I think in the next 10 years they're going to do it too.
Well, I know we said last question, but I got one more for you. And
I never say last question.
I got one more. I can't let you go to ask you about Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball. And, you know, you tweeted earlier, maybe it was yesterday or today, about Twitter mentions. And in Twitter mentions, there's Nike, there's Adidas, and there's big baller brands above
ahead of Under Armour.
Under Armour. And, I mean, he's crazy. He's outlandish, but is he crazy like a fox?
He's crazy, but I tell you, I mean, it's like Muhammad Ali, Conor McGregor, LeVar Ball. The guy can really talk. He can really talk, and he talks well. And what I keep coming up with on Twitter, you know, people are like, you guys got to stop talking about him. You know, the thing is, though, we're, as journalists, we're more responsible with that ROI now than ever before. And I can tell you, LeVar Ball is the number one most read story on ESPN.com every day.
Wow.
Every day. It's not even close. So all you people out there say you're not clicking. You're clicking, okay? Because it's not us in Bristol trying to, you know, jockey the numbers up. You're clicking. And I'm not sure if he's smart from, and this is what makes this story so intriguing, especially for me, is that he's making such a bet on his son. And now you got the Lakers thing lined up. I mean, this is just, what a hell of a story this is.
It is a great story. And look, and we all got a front row seats, and we'll continue to watch it, and we'll continue to click. Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on and sharing some time with us. You know, I follow you, and you follow me, and keep retweeting me, and I'll keep retweeting you.
There you go. Thanks, man.
All right.
All right, Darren Rovell, ESPN Sports Business Reporter, joining us there.